Are you out of breath after that song? You might be. I chose not to sing the last stanza, so I might have the breath to preach. We'll see if it works or not. How about that? Wonderful song, however. God's glory has brought down salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Before we get started this morning, I just want to share something with you. I walked in this morning into the foyer. You know, we have a clock in the foyer, and it looks kind of like this, and it runs just like that. And the moral of the story is, when you're in church, my, how time flies, right? Now, if any of you are wondering, I'm going to be watching that clock and not this one during my sermon. This is also a reminder how quick life flies. If you're over 50, you're beginning to feel it. If you're at 60s, like I am in my 60s, you feel it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The hands of life are turning quickly. Welcome to our guest. We're glad you're here with us today as we share together in worship. We're continuing a series of lessons on the good life from the book of Philippians. Paul describes to us the good life in Christ, of course, but what that looks like and how we can appropriate his principles for a better life in ourselves. Next Sunday, we're going to take a break from our series for three lessons that the elders have requested. The first one is on the role of deacons in the local congregation. We had some nominations for deacons shortly, and that sermon is to help us prepare for that process as we completed that deacon nomination period back around the holidays. And then March 3rd and 10th, I plan two lessons on principles of biblical interpretation. They're teaching-type lessons where we'll talk about some principles that help us in applying Scripture in our lives and understanding it correctly and accurately, handling a word of God accurately. This morning, I want to share with you Paul's recipe for lemonade. Now, you may not have known that was in Scripture, but Paul has a recipe for lemonade, because you know the old saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, Paul tells us how to do that. You see, bottom line is, I can't control the circumstances of my life, but I can choose how I respond to those circumstances. I can choose my attitude and my response. I can't control the circumstances around me, but what I can do is control how I respond to those and the attitude in which I hold. So when life gives you lemons, make some lemonade. And Paul writes a very good recipe for making lemonade within chapter 1. And he shared it with the Philippians and with us in verses 12 through 30. And I don't know about you, but I need a good recipe occasionally for lemonade, because life has thrown me a few lemons. Has it thrown you a few lemons? Maybe even this week? Some difficult times, some surprises you weren't counting on, some challenges of life. We're going to discuss those this morning. What were some of Paul's lemons, difficult circumstances? Well, he goes over them in verses 12 through 14. Listen in. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. See, Paul wrote while he was imprisoned. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God courageously and fearlessly. You see, Paul was imprisoned for his faith when he wrote the book of Philippians. And we think of the letter to Philippi, the Philippian people, as being the letter of joy. But let me tell you something. It wasn't because Paul was having an easy time of it. Paul was in prison when he was writing these words. The other prison epistles written by Paul are Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians. But we see this letter of joy because Paul knew how to make lemonade. Take the lemons of life and to reconstitute that in a way that brings some joy, some happiness. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, succinctly states Paul's faith in the Lord. We know that in all things, that means either good or bad, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28 does not mean that everything that happens to you is fun and easy and comfortable. What it does mean is God is at work through whatever life throws at us for our good. The point is that God's on our side. God's got our back. God is guiding our life even through those difficult circumstances. Paul was imprisoned for his faith. Number two, what are some of Paul's lemons? Take a look at verse 15 through 18. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing that is in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice. So Paul knew some falsely motivated teachers, people who were preaching for put the spotlight on themselves or for the wrong motives. But Paul said, you know, they're still preaching Christ, and I'm glad of that. Paul saw some good lemons in this situation. No, he didn't want to be in prison, and no, he didn't want falsely motivated teachers. Yet he said some good could come out of these situations. But thirdly, Paul had a third lemon. We see it in verse 19 through 26. Paul knew he could die for Jesus. Paul said, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I expect to get released," is what he's saying, "from jail. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but have sufficient courage, so now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, that will mean more fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, and your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Paul reminds the Philippians that he's got some lemons. He's in prison for his faith. He knows some people who are preaching Christ out of wrong motive. And Paul himself knew he could face death because of his faith in Christ. He expects to be released, but he also knows that someone could come and demand his life at any time. And you know what? Paul's okay with that. In fact, he says, "If I die, I just depart to be with Christ. And if I get to stay here, I can labor more with you." It's kind of like Paul saying, "I don't have a losing choice here. If I'm killed for my faith, I get to go to home to be with Jesus. That's an okay conclusion. And if I get to stay here, I get to continue to minister to you Philippians and to others. And that's a good conclusion too." So Paul says, "I win either way." Question: how do you persecute a man who wins either way? If you let him off the hook, well, he's going to help the cause of Christ. He's going to continue to preach. If you persecute him and kill him, he goes to be with Jesus. That's called a win-win situation, isn't it? And Paul knew he could be persecuted and it didn't matter. He was accepting of either situation. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we get to the maturity of the Apostle Paul, when we say some of these struggles that we're having in life right now, some of these uncertainties, some of these lemons coming our way, we may not like the lemons, but you know what? I'm in God's hands and it's going to work out fine. Either way it works out, because I'm God's child. That gives us peace. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, talk about the peace that passes understanding, because he had experienced that in Christ. Now we're getting down to what you all came for the sermon for this morning, Paul's recipe for lemonade. I know you want to write this down, you want to copy it, you want to take it home, you want to make some. And you may do so. It's not copyrighted. But you find Paul's recipe for lemonade beginning in verse 27 through 30. "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle you saw that I had, and now here I still have." Here's how you make lemonade out of the lemons that come into your life. Here's how you deal with the situations when you've just got some lemon situations that are sour, that don't taste good alone. Here's how Paul says we make lemonade. Number one, You resolve to do the right thing no matter what the circumstances. See what he says in verse 27? Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You see, Paul is more concerned with my response to what happens than the lemons that get thrown at me. Paul's more concerned about how do I respond? What is my response? What is my attitude? What is my heart? How do I respond to troubles? Not just how do I deal with them, but how do I respond to them? Resolve to do the right thing no matter what the circumstances. That's the first part of Paul's answer of how you make lemonade out of life's lemons. We can't control the situations in which we find ourselves, but we can control our response to them and our attitude toward them. Did you know you can choose your attitude? And if you doubt that, let me guess. You're having an argument with your wife at home, or your husband. We'll make it equal opportunity gender here. You're having an argument at home, and your phone rings, and you're ready for a break in this argument anyway. So you answer the phone, and it's your mother. You've been going, blah, 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 when you answer the phone. Well, hello, Mom. Now, how did you do that? How did you go from being in an argumentative spirit to a, hello, Mom, good to hear from you? Because you can choose your attitude. You can choose your attitude. Exactly. And Paul says, let's resolve to do what's right no matter what. Remember, we can't control all the lemons that come our way. We can control what we do with them, our response and our attitude. We are response-able human beings. I understand that this is hard. Doing what is right is not always easy. It is difficult to return good for evil. Amen? It's difficult. The Bible teaches us to do that, Romans chapter 12. I know it's difficult to pray for my enemies, but have done so and had spiritual victory because of it, as Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 5. And I know it's hard to live at peace with all men, as Paul enjoins to the Romans in chapter 12. But you know, when I choose my attitude and my response to the lemons that come my way, it's amazing how much I can do through my attitude and my choice. Doing the right thing is not always easy, but doing the right thing is best. Doing the right thing is best. Character is not doing what's easy, but character is choosing to do what you know is right, no matter what the circumstances. You see, usually I know what I should do. In my heart, I usually know what the right response is. But the question is, do I have the spiritual strength to do what I know that is right? Here's a secret. There is liberty in doing what is right. When I was a student at Harding University, we had a student newspaper back in the day before internet. You know, I went to college before internet, you know. Just in case you were wondering, it was also before computers. Can you believe that? Computers that back then were owned by banks and the government, and that's about it. No PCs. We had a student newspaper. I doubt they have new student newspapers on campuses anymore, at least not in the physical version. We had the old print and paper version. And the motto of Harding University's student newspaper was, freedom is found in doing right. And I read that, and I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's absolutely right. Because when I do what I know is right, by God and by other people, I find a freedom in that, don't I? I get hogtied when I do what's wrong before God and wrong before others. Freedom or liberty is found in doing what is right. When we resolve to do the right thing, there's a freedom or liberty that comes for that. A peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote to the Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. So Paul's first element of making lemonade out of lemons is resolve to do the right thing. Number 2, verse 27. I know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Paul is telling us, well, not only should we choose to do what's right, but let's link up with other people who are choosing to do the right thing too. Let's link arms with others who are choosing to make moral actions and moral decisions. Now, I don't mean that all your friends have to be perfect. By the way, if they were perfect, they wouldn't choose you, right? Yeah, I know. None of us are perfect. I'm not saying that. But you choose good, godly, moral people as your friends, and when you link arms with them, it's amazing how that strengthens your resolve to do what's right and how you can equip to make some lemonade out of the lemons that have come your way. The principle of linking arms with others is why the church works. It's why AA works. It's how community works and neighborhoods work. Linking arms with one another who are resolved to do the right thing empowers us to make some lemonade out of the lemons that sour our lives. We need the strength to stand alone and the wisdom to stand together. Together we are stronger. And together in Christ we're stronger still. You know, if evil companionship corrupts good morals, as the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, isn't it also true, the converse, that good, righteous companions will strengthen our morals? Of course. Paul's recipe for lemonade: resolve to do what is right, no matter what. And link arms with other people who are also going to do what's right, not perfectly, but faithfully. And they will help you as well respond to the lemons that have come your way. You see, when I'm feeling attacked by circumstances, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling like life has been bad and unfair to me, I need people who stand beside me of godly values and character. I need help. And I want my helpers to be people that I can trust, who love God and who love me. But number three, the third part of Paul's recipe for lemonade is you don't sell out to fear. Look at verse 28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Do you know a lot of people try to throw their weight around just to intimidate you? Have you ever noticed that? They just feel, whether they do it physically or emotionally, intellectually, they can do it in a lot of different ways. Even socially, people throw their weight around. You know, I know so-and-so. Do you know that I know so-and-so? You've heard that. Don't sell out to fear. Don't be intimidated. Don't be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. We make life's lemons into lemonade when we refuse to be manipulated by fear. Sometimes that fear comes from within us, though. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter tells some Christian women to be like Sarah and choose to submit to their husbands like Sarah did to Abraham. And your daughters, if you do what is right, and do not give way to what? Fear. Don't give way to fear. Who's the author of fear? Satan is the author of fear. Who's the author of peace? God is the author of peace. Satan wants us to live a life in fear, stressed out all the time. If you're feeling stressed out all the time, I mean constantly, you reckon Satan might have something to do with that? When life gives you lemonades, remember that God is sovereign. God is in control. God's got your back and the rest of you too. So don't be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. When you feel like you're being attacked by the lemons of life, don't give way to fear. Don't give way to negativity. Don't think that everything's against you. Don't let others manipulate you. You resolve to do what's right. You link arms with others who are going to do what's right. And you don't sell out to fear. And then the peace of the Lord will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We make lemonade out of life lemons, very simply by Paul's recipe. But there's a little more to this sermon I want to give to you this morning. I'm not the world's greatest cook, so my next recipe, won't stand by for lemonade, but it's the best I can do, so please forgive me. There are three basic ingredients in lemonades. Here's the parable. There's lemon juice. That's the sour part, right? And then you've got to dilute that lemon juice with what? Lots of water. You got to tone down that sourness of the lemon juice, so you put lots and lots and lots of water in. But you still lack another ingredient. What do you need? Sugar. You knew that, didn't you? You need to sweeten it up a little bit. You need some sugar. You see, if you just have water and sugar, you got sugar water, not lemonade. If you got lemon juice and sugar, you got lemon paste. You don't have lemonade. If you got lemon juice and water, you get lemon water, but it's still sour. We need all three ingredients, don't we? We need the lemon juice, the sour stuff, but we also need to dilute it with the water, and then we need to sweeten it up with the sugar, don't we? You see, water helps dilute the sourness of the lemon juice. I know I'm extending this term beyond Scripture, but I'm going to use this as a word picture for you. Jesus said he was the living water. Amen? When you have Jesus in your life and faith in Jesus in your life, he begins to dilute those sour situations that have come your way, because your faith in Jesus puts them in perspective, doesn't it? So your faith in Jesus begins to dilute. Jesus is that living water, and it begins to dilute the sourness of life that comes your way. And that's what Christ did for Paul's lemons of imprisonment and the possibility of death in prison, because Jesus Christ diluted the power of the sourness of Paul's imprisonment. Let your faith in Christ dilute the sourness of life's lemons. Christ didn't rescue us from all the pains and problems of life, does he? But our faith in him carries us through those pains and problems in life. Christ dilutes life's lemons as the water dilutes the lemon juice. The sourness is still present, but it's less intense because of your faith in Jesus. But remember, just lemon juice and water don't make lemonade. You need something else too, is it? What was it again? Sugar, right. So you remember that, don't you? You needed a sweetener of some kind. Some of you want to use artificial sweetener. Okay. But in our parable, the sweetener is the Christian heart. The decision to respond appropriately with my right attitude instead of fighting fire with fire. Fighting fire with forgiveness and with love. That's the sweetener of the Christian spirit. And you see, brothers and sisters, this is how we deal with these sour things of life that come our way, the lemon juice of life that comes our way. We've got to dilute it with our faith in Christ, because Christ helps us keep it in perspective. And then we've got to sweeten it with a Christian character that's been formed in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And then suddenly those sour lemons become what? Lemonade! And you know what? Well-made lemonade, I can drink a pitcher or two of that. How about you? Here's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Your faith in the Lord makes a difference in your spirit and how you live now as well as eternally. I agree that your faith in Christ will carry you to heaven, and your faith in Christ is necessary to carry you to heaven. But you know your faith in Christ also carries you through life? And that's what Paul is telling us here. Eternal life in Christ begins now. It's not just what we get in glory. We'll get it in glory, yes. But eternal life in Christ begins now. When you begin to take the sourness of lemons of life, add to that your faith in Christ, which dilutes the power of that sourness, and should sweeten it with the sugar of your spirit in tune with God's spirit. And that, my friends, is Paul's recipe for lemonade. We're not quite done. Bear with me just a little bit longer. Maybe you've got an ugly, maybe sentimental picture of a grandparent, great-grandparent. You want to hang it in the hall because that's my family. But it's one of those pictures you kind of go, I don't really like the picture. I don't like their expression on their face. I don't like that look. But that's my great-grandma. That's not my great-grandma, by the way, just in case any of you were wondering. But it could have been. How do you make that picture acceptable to go in your hallway? You put a nice frame around that picture, don't you? And that nice frame, shall we say, sweetens up what otherwise could be a kind of sour picture. And the same is true in Scripture. Notice verse 12. Paul says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So Paul takes this ugly picture
of the fact that he is in prison for his faith in Christ Jesus. And he puts a great big frame around it and says, but you know what this prison that has done is given me a chance to advance the gospel to those around me in prison. Paul says, here's a miserable thing, but here's a better frame to go around it so it looks better. And I can appreciate it.
I think I'm off the mic, aren't I? Sorry about that. I think I just ran out of battery. I'm almost out of sermon. I'll stay here. Paul does the same thing in verse 15 through 18. Some are preaching Christ out of false motive, trying to cause trouble for Paul. Yet Paul reframes this picture of ugliness and says, the important picture part is that Christ is being preached. He takes an ugly picture and reframes it. Brothers and sisters, that's how we make lemonade out of the life lemons that come our way. Some folks call this looking for the silver lining in the cloud. And you can call it that. I call it making lemonade out of life's lemons. So when life gives you lemons, you now know Paul's recipe for lemonade. Resolve to do the right thing no matter what. You are responsible. You can control your reactions. You can control your attitude. You can choose your attitude. Number two, link arms with others who are faithful to Christ, who will help you, will be an encouragement to you to get you through these lemon spots of life. Number three, don't sell out to fear. God knows, God cares, and God guides. So when life gives you lemons, dilute it with your faith in Christ, sweeten it with your Christian character, and then give it back as lemonade. That's how we can be the salt and the light to the world. Let's pray. Father, there's so much we do not understand. We trust in you not because we have full understanding of all of life's problems and all of your answers, but we do believe in you and your goodness and your glory. And we ask for strength, Father, to respond according to your spirit in our lives to the lemons that come our way. Help us, Father, not retaliate in anger. Help us, Father, learn to forgive. Help us, Lord, be able to give back good for evil that has come our way. Help us, Father, learn to pray for our enemies. Lord, guide us by your Spirit, because we know there's only life when we follow it. Give us the strength this day to do your will. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I started by telling you that life seems to be going pretty fast, but you know, eventually life does run down. Eventually the clock stops. I want to be with Jesus, don't you? I want you to be with Jesus. That requires putting your faith in him, repenting of your sins, being baptized into the Lord, living faithfully unto death. Not perfectly, but faithfully. I want you to be in heaven. And won't you answer his call to him? Let's together stand and sing.